Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise, and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Hey, Truth Seekers, good evening. It is Friday. This was a rapid-fire week, wasn't it? Awful lot of strangeness occurred this week. Yeah, I'm getting a cold. That's because I have a 2-year-old, so if I sound a little froggy tonight, that's the reason. Good news tonight. Excellent, wonderful news tonight. The Republican House Ethics Panel found no wrongdoing in the way the Republican House Republican leadership handled the Republican Mark Foley sex scandal. No problems. Oh, a couple people should have said something, but no problems. We might give a little more attention to that a little bit later in the program. The murderer Donald Rumsfeld says goodbye and takes zero responsibility for the war crimes he insisted were carried out in the name of the United States and you and me and all of our citizens. This evil bastard addressed, I guess it was a bunch of Defense Department employees today. You know, the difference is somebody emailed me and said I should maybe get the sound from how Limbaugh did for Rumsfeld today, what Monica did for Clinton. And, you know, And then I listen to myself calling this evil son of a bitch a mass killer and yada, yada, yada. How can two people, Limbaugh and me, live in the same country and have two so diametrically opposed positions? Well, I know the reason. He's a drug-using, insane person, and I'm just kind of normal. 36 U.S. soldiers killed so far this month in Iraq, and this is the 8th. This is going to be an awful, awful December. I can't imagine the families that have family members in Iraq. And there are going to be scores of them who are going to get the knock on the door right around Christmas. Arguably one of the most emotional times on the calendar, in this country anyway. And Bush's madness then will guarantee that for the rest of the lives of the people who get the knock on the door, Christmas will be the time when they found out their son, their father, their daughter, their mother, sister, brother had been murdered in Iraq by George Bush's madness. It's almost unbearable. In what is likely her final legislative act in Congress, outgoing Georgia representative, my representative, Cynthia McKinney, announced a bill today to impeach President Bush. The legislation has no chance of passing and serves as nothing more, even though it has been filed correctly and properly and is a matter of record. It serves now only as a symbolic parting shot at Bush and also the Democratic leaders. Incoming House Speaker Pelosi has made clear she will not entertain proposals to sanction Bush and has warned the liberal wing of her party against making political hay of impeachment. Now, this is the Nancy Pelosi whom 60% of the voters in her home district, the district that sends her to Washington, the district that has, by virtue of sending her to Washington, has made her the incoming Speaker of the House by a 60% majority, passed a resolution this past November demanding Bush be impeached. Huh? No, says Madam Speaker. It's off the table. According to the AP, McKinney has made no secret of her frustration with Democratic leaders since voters ousted her from office in the primary this summer. In a speech this past Monday at George Washington University, she accused Democratic Party leaders of cowing to Republicans on the war in Iraq and on military mistreatment of prisoners. Yeah, well, at the heart of the charges against this worst president in the history of this republic, at the heart of the charges contained in McKinney's articles of impeachment is the allegation that Bush has not upheld the oath of presidential office and is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. There are four articles of impeachment, I believe. I've got it here in front of me. Article 3. No, I guess there are three articles of impeachment. While the staff was editing the document, one advisor said, quote, as we sat down and worked on this, a pattern became very clear, a pattern to specifically undermine the Constitution and establish a unitary presidency. You can find this at truthout.org. McKinney introduces bill to impeach Bush. Even John Conyers, a year ago, he sponsored a resolution, H.R. 365, to create a special committee to investigate allegations against the Bush administration. A move that anybody above the fourth grade would understand would likely lead to the discovery of impeachable offenses. The resolution was passed to the House Committee on Rules, run by Republicans, who never brought it for a vote. And at that time, it was widely believed that if Democrats took control, Conyers would reintroduce the resolution since he would have subpoena power. If, as expected, he is going to be leader of the House Judiciary Committee. A few days after the Democrats won control, Conyers echoed Pelosi's statement saying, quote, I'm in total agreement with her on this issue. Impeachment is off the table, end quote. And last week, somebody in Conyers' office said the resolution would not be reintroduced and the congressman had no intention to pursue the matter. Now, see, right now, I want to scream a string of profanities and epithets, but I won't. I won't. But I was one of the people who watched John Conyers with the hearings on 9/11 and the hearings on when he was banished to a basement. Hearings on the CIA where he was stuffed into a closet, treated like I guess I won't say it, but you know those little statues in front of some people's lawns where you used to tie your horse up or something. And I was one of the, there were several of us in radio who went to bat for Conyers and clapped him on the back and figuratively speaking and cheered him and said, yes, by God, at least, and now this. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. The question among the staffers for McKinney was whether or not other members of Congress would support what McKinney has brought up. And, one of the advisors to Kinney says Conyers was supposed to have investigations that were chomping at the bit 6 months ago to do subpoenas. Now they say they aren't even going to issue subpoenas. McKinney says, quote, what do you think they're going to do to me this time? We have to do this because this is simply the right thing to do. The American people do want to hold this man and his office accountable for the crimes they've committed, and if no member of Congress is willing to do it, then I will. My duty as a member of Congress is merely to uphold and preserve the Constitution and to represent the will of my constituency. Ultimately, it isn't up to me or any member of Congress. It's up to the American people to decide. And that kind of is the bottom line. If you and I do not insist that this rat bastard be held accountable for what he has done to our country and our Constitution, then so be it. But if Nancy Pelosi, and I would imagine that probably a huge majority in John Conyers' district also, in Michigan, also would feel the same as Nancy Pelosi's constituents do, that he should be impeached. And it should be brought to trial in the Senate. If it does not succeed in the Senate, so be it. But it can succeed in the House now. The articles of impeachment can be brought. The articles of impeachment can be delivered to the Senate. A trial can be held. And if this unconscionable thug is not convicted, so be it. So be it. And as far as the Clinton angle is concerned, when I think about what the Republicans put this country through, not the impeachment process, the country staggered on during that entire debacle. But if the Republicans are saying now, or the press is saying, or somebody's saying, well, you know, or Nancy Pelosi's saying, we got to get to the business of the country, we can't do this, that is a lie. We can do it, and it should be done, because it's the right thing to do.
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
He just sounds dreamy when he says that, doesn't he? Oh my God. Some odd things are happening now as a result of the release of the Iraq Study Group report. Here's an odd thing. A Republican senator from Oregon, Senator Gordon Smith, in a major speech to Congress last night, called the current U.S. war effort in Iraq, quote, absurd, end quote. Perhaps even, quote, criminal, end quote. And called for rapid pullouts. He added that he never would have voted for this conflict if he had reason to believe the intelligence the president gave the American people was inaccurate. This is at editor and publisher dot what? Dot com. Editor and publisher dot com. Citing the hundreds of billions of dollars spent and 2,900 American deaths and saying he needs to, quote, speak from the heart, end quote. Smith said, quote, I, for one, am at the end of my rope when it comes to supporting a policy that has our soldiers patrolling the same streets in the same way, being blown up by the same bombs day after day. That is absurd. It may even be criminal. So either we clear and hold and build or let's go home, end quote. This prompted Republican Senator Lincoln Chafee, who was defeated in November, to cite Smith's speech in suggesting that support for the war is crumbling. Chafee said that Senator Smith's statement is, quote, political dynamite, end quote. Smith had said the U.S. military's tactics have failed and that he cannot support that anymore. He said, quote, we have paid a price in blood and treasure that is beyond calculation. He went on to say, quote, I for one am tired of paying the price of 10 or more of our troops dying a day, so let's cut and run or cut and walk, but let us fight the way on terror more intelligently, or the war on terror more intelligently than we have, because we have fought this war in a very lamentable way. Senator Gordon Smith, Republican of Oregon. 2,900. Almost dead Americans. 100, 200, 300, 500, 600,000 dead Iraqis. For what? Just for what? Seriously. And an email from Jared regarding last night. Technically, World War II was the longest war declared by the United States. We're talking about the longest war. Vietnam was the longest military engagement authorized by Congress without a declaration of war. And the war against Native Americans was the longest undeclared war. 1840 to 1886, a 46-year span without 90 days of continued peace. 46 years. This is from William. Mike, it's good to be hearing you back on the Quake here in San Francisco. Enjoyed the Santa Claus stories last night and also your openness about doing psychedelics. I think that is an important subject. And more dialogue is needed in that direction. It appears there are a lot of us with that kind of experience that tend to suppress or seem to have forgotten the visions received in those spaces. Some of the most profound experiences in this lifetime I had on psychedelics. I'm 55 now and don't feel any great need to actually do them anymore. I meditate and I am an artist and musician. I think they taught me mostly how to appreciate life and not take it for granted. I'm old enough now to know that life is an absolute wonder and how precious time is, without any outside stimulus needed. But they were certainly an important part of my evolution. About the Christmas tree, a mystic once told me it was a symbol of the illuminated spine. I love the solstice because it happens in real time. William. I hope nobody misunderstands about, you know, when I share my experiences, I have to make one thing very, very clear. I was in my late 30s, before I ever even attempted a so-called psychedelic. I'm not counting, like most people, getting hammered on booze until you throw up in the back seat of somebody else's car, or smoking pot when you know you shouldn't, trying cigarettes, all that nasty stuff that we do as teenagers. But I mean the drugs that are normally used by people with lots of training before they ever try it. And I need to make that clear, because if you're a young person listening, let me tell you something. Up until your late 30s, the life you experience is a hell of a lot more psychedelic, trust me, than what happens when you walk through those doors of perception. And believe me, there is so much that you need to experience. So just so we're clear on that. From Joanne, I enjoyed the emails earlier tonight. This is, she was talking about last night, about the pagan origins of many Christmas symbols and traditions. Many of them, such as the giving of gifts during the Saturnalia festival in December, are Roman in origin. Indeed, the choice of the winter solstice to celebrate the birthday of Jesus was done by the early Christians to compete with the cult of Mithras, a hero savior who was a favorite of Roman soldiers. Syncretism is the merging of different religious beliefs or traditions. All right, you got a break? All right, well, we'll be right back and finish this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Well, it leaks out.
Has he mentioned yet tonight?
It leaks out in just about everything I say. All right, this is an email. My bad there. We came up on that break too fast, last break, and I wasn't paying attention. This is from Joanne in San Francisco. She writes, I enjoyed the emails earlier tonight about the pagan origins of many Christmas symbols and traditions. Indeed, the choice of the winter solstice to celebrate the birthday of Jesus was done by the early Christians to compete with the cult of Mithras, a hero savior who was a favorite of Roman soldiers. Syncretism is the merging of different religious beliefs or traditions. The Japanese are past masters of this, observing rituals in their native Shinto tradition, while going to the later religion of Buddhism for the great passages of birth and death. They are even incorporating Christian practices without particularly converting to the religion. as many couples opt for a Christian wedding complete with white wedding gowns and tuxedos. A good 20 years ago, I read a newspaper story about one of my favorite examples of syncretism run amok, a Japanese department store which incorporated two Christian symbols into its December decorations when they featured Santa Claus nailed to a cross. Oh, God. Thanks, Joanne. I don't know why I find that funny, but I really do. Ruthie writes, what can we make of Sandra Day O'Connor as part of the Iraq Study Group that just told Bush he's a disaster when she herself was the swing vote that put him in office in Bush v. Gore? Is this her mea culpa? If so, too little, too late. She disgusted me then, and she disgusts me now. Why doesn't she just admit she made the biggest mistake in Supreme Court history and then slit her wrists? How does she live with herself, the foolish bitch? Okay, Ruthie. Woo! All right. And when Mike sent me this, he included a little a postscript that said, do you have the Proud to Be an American cut handy? Because he referenced that when he sent me this. A new non-lethal weapon developed by the Department of Defense. It's called the ADS, or Active Denial System. It fires an invisible beam that penetrates the top 1/64th of an inch on a target's skin, hitting sensitive pain receptors and causing a burning sensation some have likened to being dipped in molten lava. In other words, it makes people feel like they're on fire. When the target, according to the developers, steps out of the beam's path, pain goes away, causing no permanent damage and leaving no marks, bruises, or burns. Some military experts are calling it the holy grail of crowd control, but, after incidents like the Abu Ghraib prison torture scandal, the potential for the technology to be used for more sinister means is simply too great. David Hambling, who has monitored this system and other non-lethal technologies, says, quote, the big concern is exactly what it's going to be used for, and do we want a weapon that simply causes pain? Because there are all sorts of ways that this could be misused. Now, engineers working on this are also developing a version of this that is handheld. Susan Levine, who is the principal deputy for policy and strategy at Defense Department's Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Program, which means she's the designated spokes geek for all this, says, quote, if you've ever used a blow dryer on your hair, and if you leave the blow dryer in one place for too long, you have to move it away. It's very similar to that effect. No, it isn't, Susan. It's way different. The device uses millimeter waves that are much easier to control than microwaves, but have a similar effect. They heat things up. Ms. Levine insists that millimeter waves are not nearly as harmful as microwaves, although both can cause cancer. Unlike a hairdryer, you freak! Jesus God! According to... See, I lost it already. I made it 39 minutes into the show. According to experts, the device is the darling of the non-lethal weapons program. The darling. Oh, I love this. Come here, you little thing. Take your clothes off. Ooh. The darling of the non-lethal weapons program. The choice of words here is really nauseous. They're nauseating. Ms. Levine went on to say, when you feel that millimeter wave energy, you get a heating sensation, a clear, distinct sensation that you know somebody's telling you to stop your actions and get out of the area. But Ms. Levine, what if you're stuck in a crowd? What if you're trapped on the ground or simply unable to get up out of the weapon's path? You evil bitch. All of you people, you evil, disgusting people.
It's the new taser. We can just start microwaving each other instead of tasering each other.
Millimeter wave.
Millimetering each
Millimeter
other.
Millimeter wave energy, yeah. Now, can you imagine, What if you're stuck in a crowd and you can't get away? How effective this weapon would be for corporate America's thugs, private contractors like, Blackwater USA, when there is a strike in front of a company and the company doesn't like it, and they just unleash a few of these, or when the next time 500,000 of us get together and decide that this Bush bastard has to be driven from office and the police have these weapons, or something that resembles the police, maybe private contractors like Blackwater USA, DynCorp, or maybe federalized National Guard troops. Who knows? Makes you feel like you are on fire until you get out of the way. And then a certain percentage of folks will develop cancer, but it's, according to Miss Devine, or Levine, or whatever the hell her name is, it's like, you ever stand there with a hairdryer and you leave it in one spot? Woo! After a while... I don't know if I should even mention this. The Republican lawmakers and aides left male pages vulnerable to Mark Foley's improper sexual advances. People knew about it 10 years ago. That's according to the Ethics Committee today in its report into an election year scandal that convulsed the House. Everybody was questioned. Speaker Dennis Hastert likely was told about inappropriate emails written by Foley last spring, even though he has lied and said he doesn't recall anything. I know nothing. I don't know anything. I'm just an ugly man from Illinois who has been doing what Tom DeLay told me to do, and now that Tom DeLay's not here anymore, I don't want to be a speaker anymore. I don't want to be a majority leader. No. The report said it discovered a pattern of conduct on the part of many individuals who knew about this, quote, to remain willfully ignorant of the potential consequences of Foley's conduct, unquote. Foley was, he got a subpoena, too. He was supposed to testify, but his lawyer notified the committee that Foley would invoke the Fifth Amendment if compelled to testify. Fifth Amendment? I thought the Fifth Amendment had been suspended. Oh, not for Republicans. That's right. Or is that, has it not completely, well, I know habeas corpus has been suspended, but the Fifth Amendment apparently is still available to Republicans. And then there's this. This segment that we're doing tonight is like, other than the Foley thing, it's like mostly news you don't hear. I watched NBC News tonight and I watched ABC News tonight because they come at different times here in Atlanta. Not one mention of the articles or the bill of impeachment filed by Cynthia McKinney. Not one mention of most of these stories we're talking about, and I didn't see this one either. Private Saudi citizens are giving millions of dollars to Sunni insurgents in Iraq, and much of the money is used to buy weapons, including shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles, according to key Iraqi officials and others familiar with the flow of cash. The U.S. Iraq Study Group report said Saudis are a source of funding for Sunni Arab insurgents. Several truck drivers interviewed by the Associated Press described carrying boxes of cash from Saudi Arabia into Iraq, money they said was headed for insurgents. Now, George W. Bush has said so many times that anyone who funds terrorists, harbors terrorists, knows a terrorist, contributes to a terrorist, is a terrorist. Okay. Where are you now, you drunk bastard? What about this? Your Saudi friends, this is according to the Iraq Study Group. Have you heard this part on the news? No, neither have I. In one recent case, an Iraqi official said $25 million in Saudi money went to a top Iraqi Sunni cleric and was used to buy weapons. And that's because, as we pointed out the other night, most of the ruling oligarchs or kings or princes in these Arab countries are Sunni. So why wouldn't they? They don't want this Shiite freak Maliki or these Shiite freaks in Iran in control. Oh, wait a minute. I have to stand up, okay? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stand up. Here we go. Sing along. Sing along. All right, here we go.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her to the end. Because there ain't no doubt.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Boy, that music makes me want to go out and dance. Can we get a sit? No, we got to work. That's right. It's about 10 before the hour. So the Saudis reportedly are funding the Iraqi Sunnis, and that means what activist groups... They're referred to in right-wing media. Activist groups in this country, liberal groups in this country, have been right all along. When folks drive their big-ass SUVs in and fill it up with, 30 gallons, and the bill comes to close to $90, and a percentage of that money goes, obviously, I mean, this is no newsflash, truth seeker, it goes to Saudi Arabia. Or it goes to Kuwait, both countries of which are run by Sunni royalty, and a certain percentage of that money goes to Sunni insurgents, i.e. terrorists, using Bush's lexicon, not mine. I think anybody in a country that's invaded by a foreign country has a right to murder as many as they possibly can. It's just a shame that this time it's our people who were led into this butchery by this psychopath in the White House. But the money goes to Saudi Arabia, or it goes to some of the other oil-producing states in the Mideast that are run by Sunni royalty. And a percentage of that money works its way to Sunni insurgents. And then it works its way into arms merchants, probably some of whom are Americans. And then from the arms merchants, it goes to the weapons dealers themselves. And then finally an exchange is made. And then somebody winds up with weapons. And then a bullet hits the head of an American Marine who's walking down a street in Fallujah. Or explosives blow up when a Humvee drives by, and there go six more American soldiers. Ah, these evil sons of bitches. Why does this go on? These are George Bush's business partners. And the only one in Congress with the guts to introduce articles of impeachment is Cynthia McKinney. Ah, for God's sake. Now, this was in the Iraq study group report, you see, that this is going on. So the AP sent their people who are based in the Middle East to various Middle East capitals, interviewing people there, and the word they got is Saudis have been using religious events like the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca as cover for these illicit money transfers. Some money, they said, is carried into Iraq on buses with returning pilgrims. And then I love this last line that I've highlighted because it's a lengthy article. Saudi Arabia is a key U.S. ally in the Middle East. Christ. This is at theguardian.co.uk. Theguardian.co.uk. Saudis reportedly funding Iraqi Sunnis. It's an Associated Press story. But I didn't see this one in the news here in the United States of America. And it's Dateline today, this morning, 11 o'clock this morning. Did you hear this, Kathy? You had CNN on today. Have you heard anything about this, huh? Not a thing.
No, but I understand that Wesley Snipes has been indicted for some sort of tax fraud.
Oh, you're kidding, right?
No, I
Oh, my
that.
God. Really? Wesley Snipes? My man, my main man.
Yeah. always bet on black.
The guy that blows the hell out of terrorists and bad guys and stuff? He's been, what?
He doesn't like to pay taxes.
He doesn't, well, who does? So Wesley Snipes.
Lots of illegal refunds, apparently. This is big news.
It is big news. To hell with this. Hold on a minute.
Screw the Saudis and Sunnis.
Yeah, there. Does that Saudi. Okay, now, what about Wesley? Damn. Well, go ahead. Tell me some more.
Well, let's see. What else was there today?
No, I mean about Wesley.
Oh, about there was a big fire in here in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Oh, yeah?
There was. But no, Wesley apparently tax fraud.
Tax fraud. Well, I don't know. Is Wesley married?
That I don't know, but his lawyer said that he was the victim of bad tax advice.
Oh, yeah. That
and Wesley
happen.
Said he was looking forward to having his name cleared.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like it's another one of these plots by, the white people to get a proud black man. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. Wesley Snipes, huh? What's the latest on what's her name? Who's that chick that just got divorced? Brittany, yeah. Brittany and what's her husband's name?
Just call him.
Her ex-husband.
Just call him K-Fed.
K-Fed?
Yeah, well, he is apparently suing for sole custody, but usually
of what?
They have two children.
Oh, they do?
That's sort of the problem. Yeah, she would.
Is he the one that came from a trailer park, or is that her?
I think they probably both did at one.
There's nothing wrong with trailer parts. God knows the FEMA thinks they're just fine for people to raise families, but
Well, only if they have keys and they're not floating in Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, anything else going on in
No.
No, that's it.
Yeah, Tom Cruise and Katie, of course. They got married in Italy.
I heard. Yeah.
And they bringing little Surrey out in front of the camera.
Well, I think it's about time. I really do. I think that that they withheld that child long enough from the people who obviously want to love that baby and worship at that baby's feet because...
The Scientologists.
Scientologists, but those of us who are not Scientologists...
If you get far enough into Scientology, find out that L. Ron Hubbard thought that everybody came from a planet called TGIAC.
Yeah. I had a little flirtation with Scientology about 30 years ago, but... what else we got then, huh?
That was during your reindeer pea eating day.
It was. It's so much better to talk about this stuff than the Saudis, Bush's business partners, funding weapons purchases that kill our soldiers. Well, let's check the wires here during the break, and when we come back, we'll have some more celebrity news, which is what we really want to do on this program. Not... We'll do some phone calls when we come back. Stick around. The number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Do join us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program for Nova M Radio. We'd like to hear from you tonight. The number is 800-989-1480. Let's go to the phone. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Mike. I wanted to give you a report, if I could.
Absolutely.
Jim Yancey was on with Dr. Mike Newcomb today, and... thanks to Dr. Newcomb for giving him that time. Jeff Barris is going to have him on his show tomorrow afternoon at 4:00 Central. I don't know what time it is out in Arizona. I think it's 3:00. But this is making a difference. Bob Kincaid had him on Head On Radio on his show, And there is a little bit of money coming into his site thanks to you guys. So I want to thank everybody who has and who will donate to Jim's site. It is going to make a difference, but we sure need as much as we can. It was 26 degrees here last night on the coast, and it's supposed to be even colder tonight, and these FEMA trailers are just totally inadequate for this kind of weather. And I talked to a person in one just before I called you, and they said, yes, it is very cold, and there are a lot of people getting sick from the cold. And everybody, please kind of keep them in your mind. And if you got a few extra bucks, go by Jim's site, jccfc.org, and help him, because he is one person that is really, really getting the money to where it needs to go. And
we're going to have him on, too. Kathy is going to work towards booking him, I think, this week coming. Kathy, is that right? Yeah.
Well, I talked to him. I talked to him before I talked to the one in the FEMA trailer. Believe me, Mike, I spend most of my day talking to people down there. And
yeah.
He is looking forward to coming on, because I told him, I said, now, Jim, of all the shows that you have been on, there's two that I really want you to know are definitely our main supporters, and that's Mike Malloy and Bob Kincaid. The Kincaids and the Malloys are, in my book, the top of the line, and he's excited about coming on with you.
Well, we'll definitely do it.
By the way, I told you about a song that was written about me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's already hit the pop charts, right?
Actually, it's pretty good. I'm talking in it, and I'm talking about impeachment, Mike. And one statement I make in it is the fact that if we can't impeach this group, we might as well just take it out of the Constitution, because we'll never be able to use it again, because nobody can ever go as far as these people and still be able to be impeached.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, somebody sent me that that music, and I wanted to hear it, and somehow I've lost it. I've looked in my deleted mail, and it's not there. So if you have it...
I tell you where you can get it. Go to WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's on Bob Kincaid Show, Wednesday, December the 6th.
Oh, that puts a strain on my head. Maybe somebody can mail it to me.
Okay, I tried to isolate it, but I haven't. But my web designer at unreportednews.net is going to try and post it on our site as soon as he can get around to getting it
all
done.
All right, as soon as I get my hands on it, I'd like to play it. Listen to it first, see what the heck it is, and just play it.
I want you to hear it. In fact, I'll be honest with you. It's so well done, and it's not for me, okay? But it's just the fact that I think Billy Shears did such a good job on it that I'd love to hear it played.
Well, Billy's one of our correspondents. Maybe he'll hear this phone call and just send me another copy, because he sent me one, and I've damn sure lost it.
Well, if I talk to him, I'll tell him. But he did a great job. I'm just really impressed. Let me also tell you that I found out, I'm not going to mention any names just yet, but I found out there has been calls made to some contacts of mine in Jackson County and throughout the Mississippi coast by Representative Clyburn's office. So it looks like there is an active investigation into some of this.
Well, that's good.
So I'm encouraged by that, but that is good news.
Well, keep fighting, Sarge. You're my inspiration. I've never met a man who refuses to give up like you, and I just think you're doing a hell of a job.
Mike, you know, this is something I wish our representatives and our people in Washington would remember, but, you know, two times in my life I raised my hand and I swore to protect and defend this Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that's all I'm doing right now. I'm just following my oath. And, by the way, remember the Iraqi war veteran that called you Monday night?
Yes.
I think he's going to be joining our unreportednews.net staff.
Well, that's great. Absolutely great.
I just want to check in with you, Mike, and hey, Jim Yancey told me to tell you and all the Bob and all of you guys, you guys are making a difference, and he greatly appreciates all the attention and the help that y'all are giving us, and you are making a difference.
All right, Sarge.
Thank you, sir.
Man. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. You take care. Take care. You got to like that man. You got to like that man. We'll have Yancey on this program probably next week, providing he can do it. I mean, that I'm not making an assumption here that, you know, he's just going to drop everything and be on the program, but maybe we can get him on next week. Gene is calling from Napa, California. Hey, Gene.
Well, greetings, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm glad I got on. I was just relaxing here listening to you talk about Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and it made me think about, remember at the end of Gulf War I and Bush Sr. encouraged the Shias to attack Sunni Saddam Hussein, but then didn't back up his encouragement.
And there was a slaughter.
Yes. And all I could think of was that, as I was lying here, was that surely like now, that the Saudis themselves did not like that idea of Sunnis being attacked.
No, I no.
And maybe, you know, Bush Sr. got the word from them that, you know, to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes me feel now that the House of Bush and the House of Assad have conspired to take over all the Mideastern oil together. And have to keep each other, you know, keep in balance, you know, what they're doing with their plan.
You know, that is not beyond the realm of what the Bush crime family is capable of. It is not beyond the realm of what they have done in the past. They have no respect for life that I have ever seen, unless it's their own. As far as working with the Saudis, that's a matter of fact. The Bush crime family has been closely aligned with the Saudi royal family for forever. Every time George Jr. Got his butt near a meat grinder, it would usually be Saudi money or bin Laden money that would bail him out. You know, if the truth were ever told, if the truth were ever revealed about what this Bush family is involved in, I think the American public, myself included, would just be blown away, just absolutely blown away. What happened? Is she gone?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm astounded. It's true.
I thought you were gone, Cindy.
No, it's true. It's frightening.
Well, maybe the truth will out. Maybe it won't. Chances are it won't. But anyway, good point. Thanks a lot for checking in, Cindy. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Joe is calling from the Bay Area. I guess that is San Francisco Bay Area, right?
I'm down here in the East Bay, and Cindy was up in Napa.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, my question was, you know, we haven't heard anything. You were talking about nothing of, you know, news on what was Dick Cheney doing in Saudi Arabia.
Hey, hold on a second, Joe. I got to take a break here, but I want you to continue that line of questioning when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us.
Gotta stop Bush.
that was a moment of failure for them. You know, they ignored the intelligence that was, you know, being told to them, hey, you've got to do something. Something's going to happen, you know. I've been Ashcroft saying, I don't want to hear any more about it. And, you know, all of this. I mean, it just, you know, that day alone was, you know, just a day of their total incompetence.
22 past the hour. That's there it is. Billy Shear sent it to us. That is the cut that Sarge is on. We'll play some more of that a little bit later. Now, back, that's Sarge Got to Stop Bush. Is that the title of it? All right. Now, we were talking with Joe in the Bay Area. All right,
Mr. Malloy, thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for holding on, Joe.
Well, anyways, Mike, you know, you were talking about how this corporate media doesn't, you know, really
report what's going on.
Right,
right, exactly.
And
exactly.
What was Dick Cheney doing in, we heard he flew over on, you know, Air Force Two to Saudi Arabia.
And that's the last we heard.
That's it.
I know.
What is up?
I
mean, are they saying that, oh, no, we can't let these Iranians, you know, influence the majority of Iraqis? You know, we're going to have to do something or what?
Are we in a proxy war with Iran
right now?
Well, I think anytime Cheney makes a move like that, it is only to further his own personal wealth and fortune or the subset of Americans that he represents, which includes people like James Baker, which includes people
like
Lee Hamilton. Cheney is a sneaky son of a bitch who will sell his own mother down the river. He will say anything. This latest thing about his daughter Mary, who is now expecting, which is wonderful. I think it's great. But Cheney will stand up there and support an administration and a Republican Party that would deny the right to have children, the right to get married, the right to fall in love, the right to hold hands walking down the street of people who happen to be the same sex. I point that out simply to make the point that Dick Cheney is a hypocritical bastard who doesn't care about anybody. Nobody.
Absolutely.
He will murder his own mother. If the situation benefits him to an extent that it offsets his sense of loss about losing his mother, he'll kill her.
But how does that benefit anybody?
It benefits him. He is not in office because he has a sense of duty to the American to the U.S. Constitution or the American public.
They've already broken the Bible by saying that, you know, they will uphold the American Constitution. They have not done that.
Cheney is in office because it was a golden opportunity. He's a scam artist. He represents, like I said, a certain class of people in this country, and they don't care if the average American lives or dies. As a matter of fact, they expect that the average American will have to die a certain number just for them to be able to get what they want.
Hopefully,
at a different time, a different place, Joe, Dick Cheney would be dragged out of his residence and eaten alive. People would have got on him with their teeth and just eaten him until there was nothing left.
This is what I've said before. All these people need to be in jail, and all the money they've made should be taken away.
Oh, no argument for me. As far as Cheney in Saudi Arabia, he was there doing his double dealing, his betrayal of Americans, his betrayal of U.S. servicemen and women, his betrayal of everything this country represents. Cheney is a traitorous pig. And he'll remain in power. He'll remain in power until 08 or until he dies in office. All right, Joe, thanks.
Do you think that might happen? You think they're setting that up?
One can hope. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. No, I have no problem with having those kinds of thoughts about some filthy, murderous individual like Cheney, who has absolutely no respect or concern or care or idea or anything else about the American public only insofar as he can profit from it. What a disgusting, contemptible human being. Yeah, I guess he is. Break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Must be heard. A sex change is the only certain way to preserve the sanctity of marriage. We are living in historic times. We are living in a time of great change. Our leadership and resolve can light the way for others. And having come this far, and in the unfolding of the years, this country has a new friend called Vice President Cheney. Dick is a killer. 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 Vice President.
Nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Retribution.
Twenty-six before the hour. Oh, you're kidding. All right, during the break, Kathy told me. You know, sometimes it amazes me that an otherwise sharp audience, who usually gets what I'm doing, will occasionally not get what I'm doing at all and get their bloomers in a real wad. And apparently my little take on celebrity news has inspired a few people to call the station in Phoenix and suggest that perhaps Mike is racist and didn't like my comments about Wesley Snipes, and his lawyer would just cop a plea and say it's just another strong black man being whipped up on by white people. Get over it! For God's sake, do I need to put neon signs up that says, attention, parody, attention, parody? Apparently I do. Well, excuse me, for the people who need that kind of a sign, it's never going to be there, ever. So, you know, get over yourself. If either that or I'm really a closet racist. Now, I am a racist. I've said that a million times. Well, not a million. I've said that probably 4 or 5 times a year in the 20 years I've been in radio. But I struggle against it, and because I'm a white man in America. I'm racist by definition, but if anybody doesn't get what I'm saying, call me and let's talk about it on the air, okay? Don't harass the people putting this program together with that kind of inane nonsense. If you don't get it, okay, you don't get it. But Jesus.
I think a couple of my favorite email that I've ever received feedback from the program was the one woman after you made some comments about a speech that Louis Farrakhan gave, and the one woman wrote you and took you to task and said that you were Satan, Mike, and you were of the devil, Mike of the devil, and the only thing Louis Farrakhan was doing was trying to promote peace and protect people from bad food.
Right. Yeah.
That one, and the people who just, when we talked just briefly, and I mean briefly, about the OJ, if I did it, nightmare, if I were going to kill some people, this is how I would do it.
Right.
When we talked about that briefly in the foxhole Fox News thing about all these people saying, oh, you white people, you just can't accept the fact that a black man was found innocent of a violent crime. It's like, are you crazy? Nothing at all to do with the subject at all. But the same people, it was strange, I thought was funny that none of the same people got upset when you were talking about Mac Tyson servicing women in a brothel.
I know.
That story, nobody cared.
I know. I know.
Who knows?
Sometimes one of the things I've discovered in all these years in talk radio is sometimes it's best just to, although I'll never do this, excuse me, it would be best to just sit down with stories that only attack the government. Don't ever say anything negative about Israel. Oh, God forbid you should say, look what's happened to Jimmy Carter. You know, Ken Stein, who was one of the first, if not the first, executive directors of the Carter Center here in the Atlanta area, a place that I watch be constructed, a place that I've visited many times. Ken Stein is professor of something over at Emory University, and he's an expert on the Middle East. I remember during the first Intifada back in the mid to late 80s, I had Ken on a couple of times as a guest on the program I was doing to try to explain not just the history of the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, the Israelis and the Palestinians, but to try to explain the absolute necessity for peace. And I always thought of Ken Stein as very rational, reasonable. He was not a Zionist. He certainly believed in the state of Israel being allowed to exist, but he also believed in a Palestinian state, if I remember correctly, being allowed to exist. Now I open my newspaper, was it yesterday, and I find that Ken Stein, as a result of Jimmy Carter's book, he's been associated with the Carter Center since the Carter Center opened, which has been how long, Kathy? 15 years? 12 years? 20 something? I don't know. It's been a long time. And Ken Stein has resigned from any association with the Carter Center whatsoever and has accused President Carter of manufacturing facts. He stopped just short of calling Jimmy Carter a liar. And what was Carter's crime? I have not read Carter's book. But apparently, Carter has suggested that what is being done to the Palestinian people constitutes, what was the word in the title? Not genocide, but apartheid. And I completely agree with that. If you take a look at the daily existence of the Palestinian people, what they have to go through, what the Israeli government puts them through 24/7. Now, I'm not talking about people who are, I have no respect for any terrorist activity, because terrorist activity by definition kills innocent people. And I don't want to get into a discussion about it. I'm talking about the Palestinian people who, in their minds, were invaded and told to get the hell off their own property. A new state was going to be formed there. Now, I'm not going to debate it tonight, so don't even bother calling me. But Carter has pointed out what most people, I think, see with their own eyes. It's very difficult to get unbiased reportage about the Middle East, but you can get it. But Carter has made the grievous error that does occur in this country, and it does occur, and I don't think any fair-minded American accepts this, whether you're Jew, Gentile, I don't care, that there's a line that you dare not cross in criticizing Israel. And Carter apparently has crossed it. And again, I've not read the book, so I probably should not get into this discussion, which I'm not going to. I'm getting out of right now. The point I'm trying to make, there are certain issues, whether it is issues regarding Israel, issues in this country regarding race relations, issues regarding gender problems. Issues, there are several, especially religion, that they are like a series of third rails that if you touch them, you're going to have your ass electrocuted. Now, I touch them all the time, and I've said so many times to people who might be offended by what they hear on this program, check first to make sure that the offense you think you're hearing is really something deliberate and intentional on my part to attack or subvert or punish or hurt a downtrodden, put-upon group of people. If it is, then you have every right to say to hell with this guy and never listen to the program again. But if it happens to be a parody, for God's sake, understand how to separate the two, all right? Reality from parody. And if it happens to be an attack against an oppressive force that is subjugating a lesser force, whether that force that is doing the oppressing is American or Israeli or Saudi or Russian, I don't give a damn. I will criticize it. And call me whatever you want. Call me an anti-Semite, anti-Russian, anti-black, anti-woman, anti-Japanese. I really don't care because there's nothing you can say. You being some generic you, I have no idea who it would be. There's nothing that you can say that I haven't heard. I've been in this business over 20 years. I've been accused of everything from being a traitor to a baby raper to a murderer to a supporter of terrorist activities. There is nothing that I can be accused of that I haven't already been accused of many times over by people who are not cowardly. You know, the cowards are the ones who won't come on the air or the ones that send emails from Yahoo accounts or this other crap. I've been accused to my face in debates on the street. And a couple of times it's almost resulted in some real nasty problems. But so anyway, get over yourself. If you hear something on this program that offends you, okay, let me know. Send me an email. But don't. You know, if you're a man, I'm talking to the males now. If you're a man, don't call my staff in Phoenix and give them all this nonsense. Contact me. Don't be a coward. Don't be a George Bush. Don't be a Karl Rove, some little snake operating behind the scenes. Get your manhood out and send me an email. Tell me what's on your mind. Right? Okay, I'm glad we had a chance to have this nice little chat. Is it time for another break, Catherine? I believe it is. Do we have some Christmas music? No? What's this? Oh, my goodness. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sometimes again it seems all I have is worry. Then you finally see my other side.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. I tell you what we'll do. Malachi just sent me, it's from commondreams.org, an article written by Rabbi Michael Lerner for tompaine.com, but you can pick it up at commondreams.org, titled Thank You, Jimmy Carter. In the opening line, Jimmy Carter was the best friend the Jews ever had as president of the United States. And Michael Lerner goes on. And I'll tell you what, I've been thinking about this during the week when I have seen the right-wing mouth breathers in this country attacking Carter in talk radio. They'll attack Carter for anything because Carter was a moral, just man. He set some things up in Central America that were disgusting. He set some things up in Central America that were crappy and disgusting. Nobody's perfect, but Carter certainly was a moral, Bible-believing Christian who refused to try to ram his religious beliefs down into anyone's mind. He's a good and decent man. I've met him. I worked for his reelection campaign in 1980. I was part of the Peanut Brigade, traveled around the South to try to help get him reelected. And, of course, that didn't happen. But Monday night, this is what we're going to, barring some weirdness like Dick Cheney meets his maker over the weekend, I think Monday night we will talk about, I'll start out by reading what Rabbi Michael Lerner has written for tompaine.com. All right? So we'll just put it off until Monday. Because that's the phone call from the people who were offended because they thought I was being making racist comments about Wesley, for God's sake, Snipes. That's what got me off on this tangent. But I've been wanting to talk about the Carter book And the title is Palestine, colon, Peace, Not Apartheid. All right, back to your phone calls about what we've been talking about. Let's go back with David, who's called in from Pittsburgh. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, David. How are you? Never mind.
You know, sometimes I admire you and sometimes I don't.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes I admire you and sometimes I don't.
Well, that's cool.
When you say truth seekers, you know, that's a high thing to live up to.
What, being a truth seeker?
Yes.
That's about as common as being someone who breathes. How can you not be a truth seeker?
Well, you have to be honest in order for it to work.
Well, no, you have to be able to recognize truth. Not everyone who is you don't have to be honest to recognize truth. You can be a lying bastard and still, when truth comes up, you'll see it. You may ignore it, but you'll recognize it.
Audience, listen to what I have to say.
I'm sorry. Say it again. You interrupted me. So say it again.
I would like your audience to listen to what I have to say.
Why?
You see, you know what I'm going to say.
No. Why? Why? You're coming across real arrogant. I'm about to dump you. I just want to know why you think my audience wants to hear what you have to say.
Well, it might inform them. It might.
Okay, you're out of here. Get rid. No. Take to end the call. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of crap. Okay. You know, if you want to be on the air on this program, just come on and say what you have to say. Don't pretend like you've received wisdom from someplace and I've got an audience that are a bunch of dumbasses that need to hear what you have to say. Don't do that. Don't do that on this program. Don't anybody do that on this program. That's not why we're here. Now, what happened? All of a sudden, the program took an ugly turn tonight. What happened? I was having a good time. I guess it was the calls into the Phoenix home office. Mike Malloy's a racist! Yeah, so's your mama, you know. And now I get this clown. I don't care what he had to say. You know, you don't come across like some arrogant know-it-all who's going to inform the audience of this program of some great wisdom. First, starting out with that nasty comment about truth seekers, again, that's just a word I use. That doesn't mean anything. It's not cast in stone. Jesus. Have you got some Christmas music? Can we close out this segment with, what do you got? Not Proud to Be an American. Don't play that again. What do you got? You got something good? All right. Okay, we have, now I've scared everybody away. Jeff, when we come back, Jeff in DeKalb County, DeKalb, Georgia, I should say, we'll start with you. But we have four open lines now. So if you want to get on the program tonight, maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe we should just go to a tape program for the rest of the show for the last hour. What do you think? Let's discuss it during the break, Kathy. And when we come back after the break, if people here rebroadcast this last hour, they know that we just said to hell with it and went home. But if you do want to participate, 800-989-1480, and we'll do some calls the last hour. Jeff, let's take Jeff real quick, and we'll just hold you over. Jeff in DeKalb, Georgia. You mean DeKalb County?
DeKalb, Illinois, Mike.
Oh, DeKalb, Illinois. Okay. My bad.
Real quickly, I am so glad to hear you again. I've been a big fan of yours since WLS. Mike, you've talked about how some people might be surprised that the Saudis would be supporting their Sunni brethren in Iraq. Didn't we all know this before we went in, that we would be opening up a Pandora's box? And we tried to tell these Kool-Aid drinkers, you know, this is not going to be the easy thing that you think it is. They are not just going to suddenly love one another as well as the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to tell them. Almost 3,000 dead Americans and hundreds of thousands of dead innocent Iraqis later. They're just now finding this out.
Yeah, I know.
And it is not a case of better late than never. It is not a case of better late than never.
Mm-hmm.
It's a case of this war was doomed from the start. And I'm mad as heck at politicians of both parties who said, he didn't send enough troops. The Democrats are playing all sides of the issue. He didn't send enough troops. he didn't do this, he didn't do that.
Yeah, don't you want to slap somebody down? Jeff,
yes,
hold on.
I do.
Hold on, Jeff.
Sorry, let me do this break.
We'll pick you up and finish up the call on the other side
so
of the
road. I'm so mad. I'm sorry.
I hear you. That's right. Just stay where you are. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. It is Friday night, the last hour of the program. That means I go get a glass of a nice Australian Merlot or Shiraz or Cabernet. Tonight's selection is, I think it's Yellowtail Merlot, I think. This will go good with the post-nasal drip I've got going.
You just mix that with some antihistamines and laissez les bon temps brûler.
That's very true. That's very true. before we go back to Jeff in the cab, Illinois, yeah, there are a few things that set me off. Right-wingers, you know, I'm becoming kind of immune to the nonsense. But when I hear what I perceive to be arrogance, maybe the guy was being satirical and I missed it. Huh? What do you think? I don't think so. But when I hear that kind of arrogance directed at people who listen to this program, you know, there are people whose loyalty amazes me to this program that has been going on for 15 years. Just like Jeff here in DeKalb County, or DeKalb, Illinois, that we're about to join again in a second, has been listening since WLS days. That goes back to 98. You know, it's almost 10 years. People who have followed this program via the internet, via Sirius, via XM, via Air America, via now via Nova M, WLS, WSB. And they do it because, I think, because, first of all, the program's entertaining, but secondly, because there is not, I don't think, arrogance here. There's personal opinion, but not arrogance. And I can't stand that when I hear somebody called in who's going to educate this audience. The audience that tunes into this program is going to be educated? Oh, please. And it just, I don't know, it just irritates me. That's all. I don't mean to get too weird about this or even talk about it beyond this. But when I hear someone, a caller, who is going to educate or get funky with the people who listen to this program via what he or she is about to say, that's when I say, well, goodbye. You know, I can't stand that. The loyalty works both ways as far as I'm concerned. People who have been very loyal to this program over the years deserve it back, and I try to give it back. So that's the end of that. I just wanted to get that said so that folks didn't think that I was just being an utter bastard to that caller. And maybe you do anyway, whatever. All right, back to Jeff in DeKalb, Illinois. Where were we? You are very pissed off.
Yeah, Mike, I want to apologize for raising my voice and getting excited.
No, you don't have to apologize.
I have to, because when I speak so quickly, people can't hear every other word and they tune out. But, yeah, the Democratic Party, I don't know what it stands for anymore, and I consider myself an independent, but it seemed that during the 2004 election, even now, you know, there's Democratic politicians and hacks and talk show folks who are trying to play every side of this argument, even the the conservative side, because there are a lot of conservatives who are mad at Bush and the regime for not sending enough troops and not, you know, giving the order to kill every Iraqi in sight.
Right, right.
Let God and sort them out. It's like they're so hungry for power that they'll play every side. And in doing so, they'll lose their soul. And they've lost me as a voter, quite frankly.
I hear that loud and clear, yeah.
You know, Mike, I'm going to let you go. Because I enjoy listening to you. I've enjoyed listening to you, like you said, since 98. This is from your unpaid intern at the DeKalb Bureau.
Okay. All right.
Happy,
well, Jeff,
happy
and
good luck to you. I'm glad to hear you back on the air again.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care. We'll talk again. Take care. Daryl from Dunwoody is calling. Daryl, welcome to the program. Hey, save me. Come on, save me. Get my ass out of this rat trap I got into.
You know, brother, I'm going to try to do my best. But I'm going to tell you like this. My mama had a saying when I was a little boy. She used to say this all the time, and I finally started understanding what it meant about 20 years ago. She said, a busted up red wagon make a whole lot of noise. And the last guy that it was on there, he was a busted up red wagon.
I don't know what he was trying to say. I have no idea, Daryl.
Brother, I love you, but you and Kathy, y'all wasting y'all time dealing with freakles, man. That dude was a freakle. Don't let him punk you like that. Let's move on, man.
I know.
Let me tell you why I called.
All right, why did you call?
George Bush has finally touched me last week.
What happened?
Six years ago, that fool, it's taken him to finally touch me.
Yeah.
A guy named Donovan Watts grew up with me and graduated high school with me.
Mm-hmm.
Was killed over the holidays.
I'm sorry.
He was we had his wake Saturday.
Mm.
And he was a sergeant major.
Mm.
Pretty damn high up. Enlisted man. Sergeant major, and he had a daughter and family.
I read about him in the Atlanta newspaper.
Yep, he graduated with me. On the track team and everything. I went back and looked at my yearbook, and there he was right next to me. And he was a really good guy. He loved his country and everything. And it dawned on me after we went back to the school, after we had his wake, and I'd like to thank all of the veterans that came out with the flags and everything. Those guys are pretty good. Guys and ladies are pretty good. We all went back to the high school, and we sat, and we all talked and laughed, and, a lot of folks from his unit was there. And when I got in my truck and I was driving home, I realized, I was like, dang, Sniggling George has touched me.
Mm.
This clown, and people call and want to get on you. If we look at the backgrounds of George Bush, Cheney, and what's that, Karl Rove, these are deviant people, man.
Oh, really?
Deviant.
Really deviant.
You know, Cheney's wife told him if he didn't clean his act up, she was going to leave him.
Mm.
He was doing all kind of deviant stuff when he was younger. Don't even talk about Bush with the frogs and the firecrackers and Augusto and what he did when he was at Andover. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Mike.
I know. I hear you.
So I just wanted to just call up and, give you my support. You know, I've always had your back, so don't worry about frequency calling up, man. Just move on down the road. Don't spend time on it, because all of us out here have supported you, and we continue to support you. And just because you have one or two clowns that call up and act like they ain't got no sense, send them down the rush.
It doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. All right, Daryl. Thanks,
okay,
Daryl. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks, Daryl. Daryl, let me tell you something about Daryl here real quick. There's a suburb here in Atlanta, Dunwoody. And for a long time, Dunwoody has been like kind of a upscale neighborhood area. They have condos and apartments that I could never afford. They also have homes up there I could never afford. Now, they also have some affordable stuff. But Daryl, we used to call him Daryl from Dunwoody, because back in the day, I'm talking 10, 12 years ago, back in the day, Daryl lived in Dunwoody. I guess he still lives in Dunwoody. But at one point, he was such a good caller to talk radio in Atlanta, and the Clear Channel station here, at the time there was only one, WGST, and they were there was only two real serious talk stations here, WSB and which was owned by Cox Communications, and WGSD, which was owned by Clear Channel. And somehow, I don't know how Daryl tricked him, but he wound up with a program. He had his own program, didn't he, Kathy? He had his own program. He got a program on WGSD because he was such a good caller. I mean, you know, he knew what he was talking about. He would call in. He was witty, intelligent, quick, and he wound up with his own show for a while. And I'm not sure what happened. I honestly am not sure. Maybe the next time he calls in, I'll ask him if that's not a chapter of his life. I've got several chapters that involve radio I just don't ever want to talk about again. But I'm not sure what Daryl does now. He's probably rich. He's probably an investment banker or some damn thing like that. I have a feeling that Daryl always was involved in financial stuff. I have no idea. But at one time, he was, for a short period of time, a talk show host here in Atlanta. But it was more like a... I think I'll go be a talk show host for a while. Daryl's cool. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
For a Piant Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Arthur is calling from Shanghai.
Yes.
China. Hi, Arthur.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I wanted to make an observation.
Yeah.
That the reason the Democrats are not going to be able to stop this war is because you have things like AIPAC and influences extraneous to our national interest that are pulling the strings, and the Democrats are beholden to them. And I think you and I understand what that means. And until we break those strings, we're not going to have the independence of movement and the freedom to decide what's in the national interest of our country. That's part of the reason I think people like Janine Garofalo were cut out of Air America, basically, why you got axed from the programming and the scores of others. I mean, I was involved with the anti-war movement prior to the invasion of Iraq. And there were people in the coalition meetings whose only interest was to de-link, not link, not allow linking what was happening to the Palestinians with what the Iraq war was about, which was taking the heat off Israel because of the Intifada. This is my observation.
Well, I regarding Janine and me and Air America, all I can say is, to the best of my knowledge, you're wrong on that. Janine bailed out.
Yeah, I didn't know the details, so I
right.
I'm just
Janine
guessing.
Janine bailed out because she is first and foremost a movie actress. She does film work, and her involvement with Sam Cedar and Air America was, and I don't mean this as disparagingly, but it was kind of a lark. Janine is a wonderful person. I had a great time knowing her, but she was not eliminated from Air America because of what she said about the State of Israel. As far as my being axed, I absolutely do not believe it was because of my position on the Israeli government. The reason being that for the entire 2 years that I was there, I never had any problem criticizing what I felt deserved criticism. My firing was the result of amateurs taking over Air America, who are still in control and are about to make the company disappear. And I was an easy target, being on after 10 o'clock at night, an easy target to try to cut back on expenses. Now, as far as... Let me finish. As far as AIPAC is concerned, you're absolutely right. They exert an enormous amount of pressure on the U.S. State Department and the U.S. government and both political parties. You're absolutely correct. But they are not the only ones who exert that kind of pressure. I have always been an outspoken... Say again?
The right-wing Christian evangelical movement, which, you know, has this, they call it Christian Zionist philosophy.
Right.
That places Israel first and
right.
the second coming and Armageddon and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
that fundamentalist Christian movement is hypocrisy in its most definitive form, because while they side with the State of Israel and the Israeli government, if this Christian Messiah ever does return, you know, according to Christian mythology, then every Jew on the planet, and especially the Jews in Israel, will be given a chance to convert to Christianity. And if they refuse, they'll be murdered. So, you know, if the Israelis want to make an alliance with people who ultimately want to kill them, that's beyond me how that works. Right. But I don't think AIPAC alone deserves criticism. While I do believe it deserves criticism, I say that American oil companies, American corporations deserve more criticism than AIPAC. AIPAC is working, yes, you're absolutely right, in the interest of the State of Israel, and they have developed a tremendous lobbying effort in Washington, and many, many politicians are terrified that if they cross AIPAC, they will lose their seat in Congress. But that can be said of several organizations.
People like Cynthia McKinney were affected by that.
Well, there's more
Hillier in Alabama.
There's in Georgia. There's more to the McKinney defeat the first time than most people know. I live in McKinney's district. I know Cynthia McKinney. I know her father. I voted for her for every chance I've had, except when I lived in. By the way, why do you live in Shanghai?
Well, I was on the final recount in Miami, November 22nd, 2001.
Yeah.
And I was a very big, active Democrat, executive committee, etc. And when I saw what happened, the stolen election, and basically the establishment of this regime, and then the failure of the country to stop
you decided to go. All right. Well, listen, Arthur, I've got to leave it there. I hate to do this, but we're coming up on a break right now. Thanks, Arthur. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Ah, 26 before the hour. What happened? The music didn't fire, Kathy? Can you get it going? No? Okay. All right, never mind. 26 before the hour. All right. That was a strange phone call from Shanghai. I certainly understand what the caller was saying, but again, I you know there is just an awful lot of speculation about what happened to some of us who no longer work at Air America, and unless I am so out of the loop as to be almost unconscious, which I don't think is the case, I just have to make it very clear that what happened to Janine, what happened to me, had absolutely zip to do with the positions we may have taken on any particular issue, and certainly not an issue of criticizing the government of Israel. That's just, you got to believe me on this, folks. I mean, we were fired mismanagement, or I was. Janine just said to hell with it. She got tired of... working around such jerks, and just, you know, you can only be in a state of being pissed off about watching mismanagement so long until you say, I don't need this, you know, and walk. So, all right, okay. Back to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Seattle. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Have you been wondering where Karl Rove is?
Yes.
I saw him on a video today.
Yeah.
Most disgusting, inappropriate piece of video I've ever seen in my life.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's the White House annual Christmas video, the kind with the little dogs running through the halls.
Oh, yeah, aren't those always fun?
Yeah, well, the dog was consoling somebody, a female secretary of something, I didn't catch what,
yeah,
standing outside a room in the White House with auditioning, and they were auditioning for this celebrity dance contest.
Yes.
And she was bemoaning the fact that she didn't make it. And so who comes out carrying a slip of paper, says, "Congratulations, you're a contestant," with his idiotic grin on his face, but Karl Rove.
Karl Rove.
And once he starts reaching for her, like, "Let's practice," and that's where it dropped. Isn't that disgusting?
Oh, my God.
How many kids died over in Iraq yesterday? How many died today, and they're putting this out?
I know.
But my other thing was, so anyway.
Well, wait. You know which what you're saying is if anyone needs proof, it's certainly
it's there.
It's there. These people don't care about human life. They don't care about our military. They don't care about our the people that they sent into a war for no reason whatsoever. They're disgusting. I swear to God, they are just disgusting, Barbara. Sometimes it's all I can do to not say things that will cost me my broadcast license. But,
well, I mean, I can say them here in the privacy of my own home. So
right.
I did it for you, Mike. So
thank you.
Rest assured. But the other thing is, after the first of the year, and it has to be obvious that time for a reason, I'm waiting, hoping that someone, if he has the guts, if not, get together as a group, because there's always some safety in groups,
mm-hmm,
of psychiatrists get together and either publicly declare or more effectively ask for a closed session and address Congress that Bush is to the point of being so out of touch with reality and so delusional that he is a threat to this country and they need to remove him from office.
That would restore my faith in the functioning of this republic as something that I want to continue to participate in, that's for sure.
Yeah, because every time I hear him, yesterday with his little pet toy, Blair, every time I hear that man speak, I don't see how anybody can come to any other conclusion that he's just absolutely mentally lost it.
Yeah. Absolutely. The only other possibility, and I don't believe this, but the only other possibility is that his arrogance, his hubris is so monumental, he thinks that we are, in this country, are dumb, stupid, ignorant, and that the election never happened, that the loss of the Senate and the House had to do with, I don't know, people being in a bad mood. But I believe it is what you've said it is. I believe that he is so far over the bend that it would be good. Yes, it would be good if people in that profession would step out. And they don't have to do it publicly. They can, as you pointed out,
they can
do it privately and say this man is an absolute threat to the continuation of this country. That's a good point. All right. Well,
thank you kindly.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Jan is calling from New York. Hi, Jan.
Hello.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. This isn't what I called about, but that call that you just had sent a shudder through me, thinking of President Cheney.
That's true. But if they remove Bush from office because of his incompetence, I think I don't know. It might put the psychopathic Cheney on notice that all he had to do was say the word frog and somebody would jump on him.
So, I don't know. We're in the last throes, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, what I was calling about was Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
I live in New York. I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in the rooms where when people that I knew were talking, their parents were talking about how they escaped Germany, how they rolled marks and shoved them in ski poles and skied out. And people, I've seen the tattoos in person, and to say that I've been very pro-Israel is an understatement. I don't know how long ago, several months ago, a play was supposed to come to New York, The Letters of Rachel Corrie.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
And, well, I Googled Rachel Corrie, and I read the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in tears by the time I finished.
She was
killed,
yeah.
Murdered by a caterpillar contraption that was made here, what are they called, a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm.
She was bulldozed by Israelis who went over her to knock down a Palestinian family's house on Palestinian property in Gaza, which is called the occupied territory because they are occupying Palestine the same way we are occupying Iraq. And the people that we, on Sunday, there was a 3-hour program on C-SPAN on Book TV, an interview of Jimmy Carter. And I'm quite sure with C-SPAN being the way it is, people could go to C-SPAN and watch the program.
Mm-hmm.
He is a thoughtful man. What he's saying, he's not saying anything about Israel. He's talking about Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Palestine, which is supposed to be a country, but which is a concentration camp that is being devoured. What's happening there, probably while we're talking, but certainly just yesterday, because I just read it yesterday, about the homes that were knocked down with these caterpillars, farms. They're destroying the Palestinians' farms. They're destroying their wells, so they have no food. They have no water. They have no electricity. They have no homes. It just breaks your heart. And we, the United States, are the only ones in the world that are supporting this. And it's because of this that they're doing this. And it's wrong. And it's cruel. And Americans just don't know. I didn't know. I sound like one of those people who've seen the movies of the Germans saying, I didn't know where those trains were going. It's happening, and Americans need to know, and it's being kept out of the press. I live in New York. This stuff just does not get talked about. I've had people be offended by me at parties just to try to have an honest conversation.
Well, I hear you loud and clear, Jan, and yeah, you're right. I have always believed in the establishment of the State of Israel. I hate the circumstances under which it occurred. And I understand the Palestinian reaction. I have spent 20 years, trying to educate myself, reading Israeli writers, reading Jewish radical writers, reading Palestinian writers, reading radical Palestinian or Arab writers, all in English, because that's the only language I can read in, or in which I can read, and I have tried to educate myself as best as possible. I've said this a million times on this program. I have friends here in Atlanta who are Palestinian Arabs, who are Israeli Jews. I have talked with all of them. I have wept with them. They are friends. It's an issue that is a festering, horrible, miserable sore on the face of the Middle East. And Jimmy Carter is the only one who ever, the only American president, possibly the only human being who ever worked a peace agreement between Arabs and Jews with Begin and Sadat.
Which holds to today.
Yeah, which does. I mean, they have had some problems, but it still holds after all these years. So I hear you loud and clear, and maybe Monday night we will have the conversation will broaden out from Carter's book into a discussion of this issue. We'll see. Listen, thanks, Jan. I hear your passion. I hear your upset. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Thank you.
You take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Tragedy!
It's about 10 before the hour. This is fairly redundant. I think we've said this every night. The program was engineered in Phoenix by Ian Huff, who also answered your calls. Army of One. Thanks, Ian. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall and the militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Keep that site running. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Archives the program. Podcasts and downloads are available. You know how to do it. So thanks to the crew. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. 9 before the hour, back to your phone calls. LaShonda is calling from Austin, Texas. Hey, LaShonda.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. Did you get the pictures I sent?
What were they?
For the pictures of the baby.
No. Where did you send them?
I emailed it to, I think it's the Mike at MikeMalloy.com address.
They have not come. When did you send them?
Sometime last week.
Well, all right, time to send them again. I'm looking back here, unless I just haven't gotten to it yet. I've got about 150 unopened emails here, but I'll tell you what, can you send them again? Is that a problem?
No, I will send them again.
All right, send them to me again, because I want to see this baby.
All righty, not a problem. I was just calling in. I know earlier tonight you were saying that you were talking about a couple of stories that didn't get as much press coverage as...
didn't get any.
Yeah.
Right.
So the one that I was calling about, it's not as significant per se, but it was during the World AIDS Day last week, and Bush got up and spoke and said that AIDS can be defeated. And I just was sitting there looking at the TV. The way he was describing it, oh, my God, it sounded like he was talking about the terrorists.
Yeah, AIDS could be defeated. Sure it could. It might take another 8 or 10 years, an awful lot of money, an awful lot of education, a lot of dedication on the part of probably 150 different governments around this planet, a number of whom don't even recognize the fact that they have a problem in their own country. But Bush speaking about how to conquer this disease is like me talking about what the moon is made up of. You know, I mean, he is a fool. He is a moron. He gets up there and talks about AIDS when you know in his heart he's thinking, well, it's just a disease that these queers get, so what do I care? That's how ignorant this man is, and you know it.
And the thing about it was that the way he was talking about it, I'm telling you, there was like it's almost the exact same rehearsed speech that he always mm-hmm. has about the terrorists. And in the back of my little cynical mind, I'm just like, oh, God, we're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
If he's up here talking about, you know, he's going to try to do what he can to help, that's terrible. That's terrible that I have gotten to the point where I am so cynical. When I see my president on TV, I sit back and just laugh at him. And then I stop and go, oh, my God, this man is in charge of the country. Help.
right. No, I know exactly what you're saying. When Bush talks about something, the more fervently he talks about it, the more you know that that topic is going to be completely screwed up by Bush, because he is a liar, a cheat, a sneak, and he says this stuff only to give the impression that he is what he said he was 7 years ago, 8 years ago, a compassionate conservative. He's neither, frankly.
My last question for you, then I'm going to get off here, mm-hmm. is, it's a serious question, as crazy as it may sound. But, Mike, do you really think the president has lost his damn mind? I mean, seriously, do you think that he is to the point where he needs medication and a straitjacket?
I do. Anyone who can, and I mean that, I'm not kidding, anyone who can commit the United States military to a war of opportunity in these times, and understand somehow, have advisors around him that say, if you do this, you are going to unleash chaos of an order that the world has never seen before, because there are a billion people on this planet who are going to see this as an assault against Islam. And then to go ahead with it, and then to continue to talk the way this freak is talking as though, what did he say the other day? The success has not been as quick as some people would like. There is no success. This is failure upon failure on a monumental scale. So the quick answer to your question, LaShonda, yes, I think he is insane. He may not be insane where he'll run through a mall with knives in his hands slashing at people, but that's a different kind of insanity.
Right.
This fool sends other people to do that.
Oh, goodness.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He sends other people to run through a country slashing and killing and burning people to death. Yeah, I think he's mad, LaShonda. I think he's out of his mind. And that caller tonight that said, the woman from California, who said if there's a chance that the American Psychiatric Association or the American Psychological Association, just some organization, could request a private, doesn't have to be out in public, just request a private meeting with the power brokers in D.C. and say, look, this man is nuts. They wouldn't say nuts. This man is clinically insane, and he needs to be removed from office. I wish that would happen. Because
we'll
I think he is. LaShonda, I think the man is crazy.
All right, then, Mike. Well, you have a good Friday, and I'll be calling again
all
soon.
All right, thanks, LaShonda. Take care. Send me those pictures, all right?
Not a problem.
I want to see the baby.
Okay, Mike.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. We'll talk again. Yeah, I think he's mad. You know, just read the book Bush on the Couch. And regarding what LaShonda said, there have been statements made by clinical psychologists, not as a group, not as an organization, not as a professional organization, but individuals who have made it very clear that this man is completely out of his crawl space. Gives me the shivers. Hey, I'll see you Monday night. All right, have a good weekend. You know, it's only a couple of weeks before Christmas. Come on, lighten up. Have some fun. Don't think. If you think, you won't have any fun. Just have some fun. I'll see you Monday night. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a good weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.